We have been talking about spiritual warfare a lot lately. We're in the promised land, no longer wandering in the wilderness. And the good news is the promises of God are here for us. The bad news is we have giants to conquer. We have to know what it is to do a good warfare and win a victory. Part of that is up to us now. Last week we talked about how important it is to have right thinking. Because so much of our spiritual warfare, it is spiritual warfare, but it plays out in our mind. The enemy can defeat you in your mind if you let him. Or you can achieve great victories, spiritual victories, if the mind is on board with it. And I'll have to say that since we've been talking about spiritual warfare, wonderful things have happened to me. One of them was last Sunday after our service, Lisette Evans came up to me and shared with me a few things that the Lord had spoken to her about spiritual warfare since we've been talking about it. And she said one of the things the Lord had shared with her is, and it's my title today, it's our warfare, but not our fight. It's our warfare, but not our fight. Now, that sounds paradoxical, contradictory, but it's not if you understand the definition of the words. I'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we'll revisit three verses about where we're landing today, talking about spiritual warfare playing out in our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we're in a human body, a physical, natural world. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or worldly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now the strongholds are not in the body, the strongholds are not in the spirit, the strongholds are in the mind, which is the soul. A stronghold is a pattern of thinking, a mindset. A stronghold is how you've thought about something for so long that in your mind, your belief system is as strong as a fortress and hard to be penetrated. That's what a stronghold is. It's not a demon. It's a mindset. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. By the way, where do we do our thinking? In the mind. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It is our warfare, but it's not our fight. Now, Jesus went into hell after he was crucified on the cross. He settled the issue of the battle then. He spoiled powers and principalities. He gained victory over the devil right then. And so if Jesus has defeated the devil, and he has, the question is, why does the battle still rage? Anybody got any battles raging in your life? And it's because believers still have to deal with horrible strongholds in the mind. When a circus trainer is training a baby elephant that will one day participate in the circus, when the baby elephant is just born, the trainer knows to do this. As a part of discipline and training for the elephant, the trainer will attach a rope to one of the legs of the elephant, and the other end of the rope would be driven in a stake in the ground, just a small stick or a stake, not that. But the elephant in his youth will try to get away and realize he can't move the stake. His mind accepts the fact that I can't move, I'm tied down. As long as my leg is attached to that stake, I'm stuck. And the elephant grows up and becomes massive in size. And so very powerful, he could pull the whole tent down if he wanted to. But the trainer always, when he wants to keep the elephant in place, ties a little rope around his leg and attaches it to a small stake in the ground. And the elephant, as he's grown and gotten more powerful, has never changed his mind. He still continues to think, I'm limited, I'm restricted, I'm tied down, I can't get away. And he doesn't even try because of his mindset, even though he has enough power now to drag everybody out of the tent with him. He's just not aware of it. His mind has never been retrained. And freedom for the believer becomes a way of life only as we replace our wrong thinking with what the Word of God declares. And Jessica Bruton brought that revelation earlier in the service. The Bible says that we should not be conformed to the world and the way the world thinks. We should not think like the world, but we should be transformed. Anybody in here need to be transformed? Then how do you do it? You change your mind. You renew your mind. You start thinking in your mind what God's Word says we should be thinking. Now, I showed you a diagram last Sunday. I'm going to show it to you again. It's a frame of spirit, soul, and body. This is the three parts of our makeup. And actually, it's like this. I am a spirit. I have a soul or a mind, a will, and I live in a body. Now, you can see from the diagram that the spirit should be on top, and then the soul submitted to the spirit. Our mind should be in subjection to what the spirit tells us we should think based on God's Word. And then the body should be at the bottom. Now, you will see that the Holy Spirit is above it all. The Holy Spirit is above each of us, pulling us upward, lifting us up from our low-level existence. And then, beneath it all, at the very bottom, the natural physical world is pulling us down. Like gravity, the world we live in is trying to sink us, pull us down to a low level. Defeat, no victory, no way out. And that's our existence if we limit it to that. In the middle, though, is the soul. And it's in that area that we choose what we think. Now, the body gets its information from the natural senses, the five natural senses. And if all we do is let our body, our flesh, have its way, whatever it wants, then we will feed the appetite of our belly. We'll make sure the flesh is satisfied. We give no thought to the spirit or the soul in renewing our mind if we're not careful. But a little baby is born at this low level. With all of the potential in its future, all that little baby knows is what its natural flesh and body is screaming for. And so we get our information from our natural senses that come from the world. And then up top, though, the Holy Spirit gives us the Word of God and direct revelation. But it's in that middle area where the battle rages. This is why the battle still rages, is because we don't have our minds renewed to the Word of God like we should. Now, every good and perfect gift comes from above. See the Holy Spirit up there above it all? And so every good and perfect gift in our life pulls us up to the Spirit. It comes down from the Father above. And then every awful thing, and we all have it to deal with, comes from beneath us, from hell itself sometimes, trying to pull us down. So all of this tug of war is going on, and it feels like a civil war inside of us. Paul said, the spirit in me wants to do what's right, but the carnal part of me is like a war against the law of my mind, Romans 7. A war against the law of my mind. The battle takes place in the mind. Now, a few references here quickly. Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is hostile against God. Now, if you've not retrained your mind to think and reflect the thoughts of God and from His Word, then the way you're thinking is actually hostile to God. Colossians 1:21, before the new birth, the Bible says we were alienated and enemies in our mind. Ephesians 4:17 says unbelievers walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which do not believe. Imagine it. Understanding darkened, your minds blinded through unbelief. And the natural way we think, as we conform our thinking to the world, is hostility toward God. My, my. Now, let me explain the title. It's our warfare, but not our fight. The definition of two words is important, and this will explain it. War is battle. Warfare is strategy. The battle is won, but the warfare rages. That's how important it is for a believer to think right, to think according to God's word, to think the way about every challenge we face, the way God would think about that challenge. And He would think about it from a place of victory. But now, the war is battle. But the Greek word for warfare is the word we get our English word strategy. So the part we play in the soul, in spiritual warfare, is we lean on God and His word for a strategy as we deal with giants in our life. He's already defeated them. He's already given us a guaranteed victory. The outcome is secure. We know how it's going to end for each of us who believe. So between now and then, the big challenge is a strategy as we face every enemy, a strategy as we face every challenge. War is battle, and warfare is strategy. Now, let me share with you in real life what I mean. If you're dealing with a medical issue, if the doctor has given you a bad report, and you're facing a challenge, maybe even a fight for your life, you need to get with your doctors and your medical team and pray for God to give divine strategy on how to deal with that challenge. And no two battles will necessarily have the same strategy. What will work for one person dealing with a disease may not work exactly the same way with another person dealing with that same disease. So the warfare is believing God for divine strategy. How am I going to overcome this challenge in my body and be healed? Now, if you're in legal trouble, facing a legal challenge ahead of you, your challenge is to get with your lawyers and believe for a divine strategy that will cause you to win. Strategy is so very important. War is battle, but warfare, which is our part, is strategy. And we need to have the mind of the Lord as we develop His strategy to get through life. We have to navigate around some challenges in our lives. Now, the battle belongs to the Lord. That's why war is battle. That's not our business. The battle belongs to the Lord. Listen, when David came up against Goliath, the giant, here's what David said. The Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Now, on that note, the battle did belong to the Lord. David knew it up front. He didn't depend on a sword and a spear, but he did get divine strategy. Somehow he knew. Pick up those five rocks in that little slingshot. You'll probably only need one. He got divine strategy that would not have worked for any of us perhaps, but it worked for him. He obeyed God and was given a great victory. He had the right strategy, five little rocks and a sling. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 20 says, thus says the Lord God to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 24:8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The battle is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 1:30. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. He will do your fighting for you. The battle is already won in the spirit. Our challenge is to get divine strategy in our mind and go to work with that. We position ourselves in our soul for victory. Joshua 23:10, one of you shall chase 1,000, but the Lord your God is he who fights for you. I'm so glad when I face a challenge, whatever it is, I'm not in it alone. The Lord goes before me. He goes before you. He already has determined how victory will come. He's going to take care of the war for us. It belongs to him. Our part is discerning a strategy that can work hand in hand with the will of God for our victory. And we miss it. Some of us stay defeated in our mind. Some of us never have a victory in any area of our life because of our mindset. We have just believed so long, it is this way, it has to be this way, it can never change. I'm stuck right here like that elephant who can't get away from that little stick in the ground because his mind has told him he can't. And he's grown, he's matured, he's developed beyond that now. But he doesn't know it in his mind. So strategy is our very important priority. Now, our only fight, and we do have a fight, but our only fight is the good fight of faith. That's our fight, the good fight of faith. To live our life in such a way that at the end of it, we could say what Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. So the fight that we engage in will not determine the outcome or the end result. God has done that for us. The fight we engage in is the good fight of faith. We hear from God. We develop our strategy to work into his plan as he leads us into victory. And he wants to do it every single time. Now, taking authority over enemy forces, enemy powers, also includes taking authority over your mind. You can have victory in your mind, or you can be defeated in your mind. Victory or defeat, many times, is determined not in the spirit. God's done most of that for us. It's a free gift. But we have to go to war in our mind. And we have to make sure we're submitted. Spirit is ruling our life. That's why many, I don't want to look at anybody because I don't think anybody in here is guilty of this, but all of us are to some degree, including moi. It's awfully easy to go a day without investing anything in my spirit, the real me, the part of me that's going to live forever, and just feed my flesh. My wife will tell you I'm bad to do that at night. You know, it's time to go to sleep. I'm already in the bed. But I have to get up and go eat something again. About every night.
So who gets up?
Oh, she gets up. She's an enabler. Why? Because the natural part of me, the flesh, the human part of me, my belly wants to be satisfied. Nobody else in here knows what that's like. The base part of me, the part of me that's temporary, the part of me that is not eternal, my body, my flesh, that patterns itself after the world and thinks like the world thinks, it's saying cram, cram, cram. And many times I get the body on top of the spirit and I do what the body says and I forget what the spirit says. But when our lives are in perfect order, our challenge is to get it that way and keep it that way consistently. And we're all headed in that direction. None of us have arrived. But the spirit is our eternal being. You know, you're going to live somewhere forever. You will exist forever somewhere. Your body will not. But the real you is a spirit. It dawned on me many years ago. I looked in the mirror and I realized That's not me. I was grateful. I looked in the mirror and it hit me. That's not the real me. The real me is a spirit that lives inside me for a while, but not forever. So why do we spend so much time and energy and effort and money taking good care of the part of us that's temporary, the lowest part of us? And we spend such little time investing in the real us, the spirit. Now, right now, we are investing in the spirit. Every word we hear right here, right now, the word of God is an investment in our spirit, the real us. That's why we should be all ears when God is speaking. The truth is we need to hear what he says, as Pastor Chris talked about this morning. But he only speaks truth to us as we are able to hear it. And so when we get together like this, corporately, it's a wonderful thing because the word of the Lord is exalted. We're investing in our spirit. But it doesn't stop there. It filters down from the spirit to the soul. When we hear God speak, it should change the way we think about some things. I have a witness right now. God has orchestrated this whole service. I mean, how many times and how many different ways can he say it? When he speaks, we should hear. And we should change the way we think to agree with what we've heard him say. Now, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, but the base, the lower part of us, the human flesh, the natural, physical part of us, it wants what it wants. It looks for the easy way out. It says, if it feels good now, do it now. Doesn't consider or even think about consequences in the future. That's where we make our choices or our decisions. Now, if you really want to understand how it's our warfare, but it's not our fight, it boils down to this, to the decisions and the choices we make in our mind. Now, we can make decisions in the soul, in our mind, based on what the natural world is saying to us, our flesh, our belly growling, if you will. We can hear that and give in and make decisions on that. Or we can hear from above, hear from heaven, hear God's way of thinking and get his thoughts on the mountain we're facing, the battle that's raging. And we can make a choice in the mind based on that. We can make a choice in our mind whether we agree with the natural world and the system and the way it works and thinks, or we can make a choice, a decision in our mind that would agree with what God has said about our situation. So the mind is so important because our choices and decisions are made there. We make our best choices when our lives are in order. Spirit ruling over soul, ruling over body. Now, Dr. Ron Cottle, and all of you know him, he's been here and spoken many times, the founder of Christian Life School of Theology, and Beacon University, a wonderful theologian. He's probably not listening to this podcast, so I'll just go ahead and say he's my second favorite theologian. Dr. Cotto, if you're listening, call me and I'll apologize. Rick Renner is my first. Dr. Ron Cottle has two earned doctorate degrees. He can speak Greek and Hebrew. And a blessing with the revelation. But he said, standing right here in this spot at this podium many years ago, every time I make a right choice, my spiritual authority increases. Every time I make a wrong choice, my spiritual authority decreases. And then he said this, where does the enemy get his power? And he answered it, from our wrong choices. And we make our choices and our decisions in the area of the mind. We can be fed in our mind from above God's word and direct revelation. Or we can be fed in our mind from below what the world says, what the flesh wants. We can feed either one, and strategy is so very important, making right choices and decisions. Now, how long will we remain paralyzed between two opinions? We're stuck in the middle. There was a song back in my day, stuck in the middle with you. I'll change it, make it a little better. Stuck in the middle with God. Here we are in our mind. We're in the middle. War raging above us, war raging beneath us. God wanting to pull us up, think his thoughts, choose what he says choose. By the way, God tells you what to do in his word. He'll give you some options. You know, choose this day life or death. Life or death. It's our choice. Life or death. And then he goes, the next two words, choose life, he said. I mean, it's like an open book test. Easier than we make it. It's so easy to think God's thoughts. He's given them to us in his word, and he teaches them to us in real time by his Holy Spirit, putting on the mind of God. How long will you be halt between two opinions, an Old Testament prophet writes? Another one says, here you are stuck in the valley of indecision. So don't have a clean mind, a clear mind, an empty mind, but have the mind of Christ. He will help you make right choices and right decisions. And that strategy, that's the part we play in spiritual warfare. The battle is the Lord's. And warfare belongs to us, but the war belongs to him, and he's won it. The mind is the strategic center where spiritual warfare takes place. It's all right here. Good news on that point. Christ is our mentor. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, moves in when we believe on the Lord. He moves into our life and he starts reproducing the life of Christ. But you know, target area number one and the most consistent target area God has to work on after the new birth is our mind. Now, the moment you're born again, the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus, believe he's the Son of God, believe he died for you, your faith kicks in, your spirit is as saved as it will ever be. The truth theologically is you only get saved once, even though I thought I got saved about every month when I was, I knew I needed it. But doctrinally, biblically, theologically, you're only born again once, and then you receive the free gift that's called eternal life. But the problem that rages for the rest of our life is most always in the mind after that. Your spirit is secure, everlasting life. But it's changing our mind to think the thoughts of Christ. That's our strategy. It takes place in the mind. We get our strategy from the Word of God, and we get it in prayer. Now, here's how easy it is. Some of you are facing a mountain, facing a challenge. Some of you thinking the wrong thoughts about how you can get from where you are to where you need to be in victory. You believe the Lord's already done it. He's already paid for it. He's already given it to you. The bottom line in your spirit is it's all settled, destination secure. But you're not sure what to do between now and then. Here's how easy God makes it. You need some wisdom. Well, I do. All of us need some wisdom. The Bible's all big about wisdom. And here's how easy it is to get wisdom. The New Testament writer, the Lord's brother James, said if any of you don't have all the wisdom you need, all you have to do is ask. And ask believing. Don't doubt when you ask. If you ask believing God to give you wisdom, the Bible says he will give it to you liberally. He will not withhold any wisdom from you. That's in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament says it like this. It's so easy to hear wisdom speak. Wisdom cries out loud from the streets. You can just be walking in your daily life, just walking down Irby Street, needing wisdom. It'll cry out to you. You don't have to go digging very hard to find wisdom. The Bible says it cries out loud. And here's the clincher. When you hear a word of wisdom, you have heard from God. Makes a difference. Change the way you think. Wisdom cries out loud from the street. Now, it's our warfare, but it's not our fight. I want to close by giving you a few examples. Then we're going to ask those of you with needs to come forward. And we're going to pray a corporate prayer over every need. We're going to agree with what God says about meeting our needs. And many of you have them. But just quickly, some examples of divine strategy. Strategy that comes from God through our spirit into our mind. Not the kind of strategy to do war that comes from beneath and is limited to what the world says or thinks. In the New Testament, one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, I have a need. Jesus said, what up? Well, I mean, if you talk like that, he would say that. And the disciples said, some of you just woke up. So right then, some of you. And the disciples said, it's time to pay taxes. It's April 15th. I owe the government some money, and I don't have money to pay my taxes. And Jesus gave him an instruction, a strategy. And because it was Jesus who speaks the truth, it worked out fine when he obeyed. Jesus said, go fishing, and the first fish you catch, open the mouth of that fish, and there will be a valuable coin in that fish's mouth. And you take that coin out, it'll be enough, Jesus said, to pay your taxes and mine too. So I know some of you are working on your taxes right now. You got 45 days to get your taxes. Jesus paid his, so I guess we should follow his example. Pay the tax man. But now that was a strategy from God, literally. It may not work for you. That's why everybody needs a different strategy, and God has a perfect strategy for each of us in every battle that rages in our life. Another time, there were 10 lepers dying. Leprosy was the dreaded disease of that day, and it's still a dreaded disease today. I've met at least one leper lying on the streets in Riga, Latvia. I could tell it was leprosy. Fingers were a nub, hand, legs were gnawed off, it looked like, and he was discolored in his skin. I knew it was leprosy. He was laying there begging, dreaded disease. It's terminal, usually. And these 10 lepers had been hearing from heaven. They had been hearing Jesus teach. And when you hear the word of God, your faith rises. That's why right now some of you are ready to receive an answer to prayer where you might not have been at 7 o'clock this morning, because we are hearing the word of God and our faith increases as we hear God's word. These 10 lepers had overheard Jesus teach, and they came up to him and said, Lord, heal us. We're lepers. Jesus gave them an instruction. Said, leave here and go to the temple and make an appointment to meet with the priest. And they obeyed his instruction. Before they ever got to the temple, while they were in the act of obeying, they looked at their bodies and realized, we are healed already. You know the rest of that story. There were 10 who were healed, and only one came back to give thanks. The other 10 just disappeared and did not honor God for the miracle. Notice there's a pattern here. When you ask God for a miracle, he'll give you an instruction. We do have strategy to play a part in the miracle God has for us. Another time, the disciples had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus walked on the scene and asked them a question. Yeah, we've toiled all night. We've not made any money out here tonight. We're going to clean our nets, go home, get a good night's sleep. It's over. We are broke. And Jesus gave them an instruction. Launch out again, and this time cast the net on the right side of the boat. And that natural man in the Apostle Peter, the one who was getting his information from the world, the one who thought he was the expert. In fact, he said to Jesus, you know, we're fishermen. We know they're not biting here. And he caught himself arguing with the Lord, and mid-sentence he stopped and said, nevertheless, at thy word. Now he's ready to change his mind right now based on a word. Some of you are ready to change your mind right now based on a word. You don't have to live a bad life. You don't have to live less than. It's not over. There are second chances. God's all over it. He's wanting to lift you up. And some of you are hearing good news and changing your mind about how the Lord feels about you. So sure enough, they went out and obeyed the instruction. That was strategy. They got their strategy to win from God, from Jesus, literally the Son of God. Then in the Old Testament, there was another leper, Naaman. Now, he thought he was his own God. Many people make that mistake. I hope none of us do. But if we're not careful, we'll live an entire day as if we're God. We're our own God. We lean on our own understanding. We try to get through on our own. We don't ask the Lord for strategy that will lead to victory. That was the way Naaman was. He was a powerful man in the army. But the Lord sent just the right person to give him an instruction from God. And here's this powerful man who commanded armies and dying with leprosy. And his servant, a young, humble girl, came up and said, the prophet of the Lord sent a message to you that if you'll go and dip 7 times in that muddy river Jordan, God will heal you of that leprosy. Well, he was outraged. Why? Because he's used to getting his information from beneath, used to doing things the way the world says do it. And the thought of him dying with leprosy, and as much as he wanted to be healed, how insane that sounded to a man as powerful as Naaman. So he resisted. He actually got angry. And God wore him down. He finally reached the place where he would humble himself and say, okay, that's not asking a lot. I don't understand it with my worldly thinking, my carnal mind, which we know is hostility toward God. But if the instruction of the Lord is giving me this strategy, what do I have to lose? So he went down to that muddy river called the Jordan. And I've been to that river. In fact, I didn't go down 7 times, but I did go down once. I was baptized in Jordan's River, in the place right where history says John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and the water is still muddy. But Naaman finally decided, I'm going to obey that instruction. What have I got to lose? Some of you need to reach that place right now, instantly. I think I'm going to listen to God. I think I'm going to hear from God. I think I'm going to get an instruction. I'm going to get some strategy from God. I've tried it my way. I've tried it the world's way. I've gained nothing that way. So I'm going to try it God's way. I'm going to lean on Him for my strategy. What have I got to lose? And it's only when we reach that point many times that we do get the help we need, when we realize it's God or nothing. I'm going to put all my eggs in that basket. What do I have to lose? Stop believing in your own deity. We're not God. Our way's not always right. His is always right. I'm going to close with these verses. Actually, it's a great way to begin every day. You get up in the morning, you want to do a devotion, you don't have much time, but you want something that's good for the whole day, all day long. Every day can be better if we begin it with these two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and he shall direct your paths. Would you stand with me, please?